the stage, my choir in their farewell concert and recording, the Tri-City Singers. Put your hands together. Come on, choir. Let's encourage them out there. Let's tell them that the blessing of Abraham is on their life. Oh, my brothers and sisters, because you are in Christ, you are Abraham's heir, and you have an inheritance on your life. You're the heir to the promise God made to Abraham. Go get your inheritance. Anybody gonna go get it out there?
Hallelujah. Good morning. I believe someone was either dancing, you know, nodding something, you know, maybe the head or, you know, shaking a hand. Oh, great, 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 great day. Good morning and welcome to your faith boost, your morning energizer, morning inspiration. All right. Your morning companion. All right. So welcome to the faith boost. I believe we're having a great time with the series, The Authentic Seed of Abraham. I mean, it gets more and more exciting, gets more, gets more and more beautiful. So we're spending quite some time in Galatians chapter 3. So are you ready? All right. So, I mean, yesterday we had a talk about the fact that there's Isaac, there's Jacob, and then there's Joseph. God was the one searching out. God was on an ultimate search. God was looking out for the seed of Abraham to bless them. God is on a radical search. God made a promise and God is out to fulfill his promise. Now, I'm using that like, you know, it's yet to happen, still trying to happen, right? But Bible now brings us into a revelation. Okay, Bible brings us into a revelation. And Bible lets us know, listen, it's yours. All you do is, now you know, go for it. Now you know, stake your claim. Now you know, put your foot down. This thing belongs to you. This thing is your own. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God. Listen, you are the seed of Abraham, every person in Christ. All right, so Galatians chapter 3, this just gets beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Galatians chapter 3 lets us know that if you be Christ's, King James, if you be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and you are the heir according to the promise. Okay, so NLT, all right, Galatians 3:29 says, and now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children. It's generalizing, talking to, you know, we believers, all right? You are the true children, all right, of Abraham, the true one, the true, all right? You are his heirs, and God's promises to Abraham belongs to you. Say that last part. God's promises to Abraham belongs to me. 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 Yeah, put your name if you don't mind. God's promises to Abraham belongs to, yeah, God's promises to Abraham belongs to, beautiful, one more time. God's promises to Abraham belongs to, that's it, all right, glory to God. So high five from over here, tap, yeah. So, I mean, we're having a great time. This is who we are, and we've got to stake our claim. This is who we are. We're not backing down. We're not slowing down. One of the things that affects us is ignorance. My people are perished for they lack knowledge. So we're knowing this is mine. The blessing is mine. The inheritance is mine. So we see the life of Isaac. Isaac prospered in a strange land. We see that Jacob, as an employee, brought great blessings to his employer, who still had to cheat him again and again where his salary was concerned. And then when it was time for him to leave and he left by revelation, he prospered. Joseph again prospered in a strange land. He prospered in harsh conditions. He prospered in prison. He prospered as a slave. So we guys, the authentic seed of Abraham, those levels of prosperity, they belong to us. You and I can, should, and will prosper in strange places. Hallelujah. You and I can, should, and will have whatever we touch prosper. You and I will excel in the things that we do. You and I. You know, so a major reason why there's no need for covetousness, okay, is because you are also blessed. So all you need to give room to is expression to the blessing. But I've been trying, relax. It's not by power nor by might. It will find expression sometimes, which I have done before. All you do for a while is just, I'm blessed. I refuse to be stuck. I'm blessed. I refuse to be stuck. I mean, you feel so stuck. But you're saying I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I refuse to be stuck. I'm blessed. I refuse to be stuck. I'm blessed. I've had to speak, you know, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22 for quite a while. The blessing of the Lord make it rich. It adds no sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord make it rich. It adds no sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord. I mean, I applied it on church work. Church work is non-profit. Church work is, hey, you go out, reach out to people, convince them, you know, and then preach to them, do something to bring them in. But God did it. Took a couple of weeks, took a couple of months, but then it happened, and then it happened, and then it happened, and then it continued to happen. And then even people who were in the city way ahead of time, I mean, Ijebode, hey, come on. What are you doing? How are you doing it? Isaac prospered. He began to prosper, continued to prosper until he became very prosperous. you're listening to me right now, I'm saying to you, you begin to prosper. You continue to prosper until you become very prosperous. I mean, we're not trying to prosper just to have wealth. It's money on a mission, money with a mission. These men were prosperous and these men were level-headed. Their senses were in the right place. Abraham was super rich, like we read. Yet again, he was a solid covenant man. Isaac was blessed. These men walked in love. These men, you don't find them beefing, hating. Jacob was blessed. He still went to reconcile with his brothers. Joseph was super, super, super blessed, super rich, and then super elevated in Egypt, and he still forgave his brother. We see them walk in love. We don't see them now having blessings and needing to prove a point to anybody. You know, you said I couldn't make it, see where I am today. You don't see any one of them. I mean, Jacob could have told Esau, you know, hey, you wanted to kill me? Try your best shot right now. See, you find none of them doing that. These men were peace lovers. Isaac was told to leave the city. He left. Get out of, he moved. Then they came, okay, so what do you want? You guys sent me off. We won't just make peace. Do you guys say, no. Did I not remember how you sent me out? No. No, he sat there, he entertained them, made a pact with them. These men were peace lovers. These men walked in love with people. All right, so they were not so rich, super rich, and then just it got into their heads. No, that's not the kind of prosperity we deal with in the kingdom of God. That's not the kind of prosperity we talk about. No matter how prosperous we become, we're still us. Hallelujah. You are the seed of Abraham. So the promise that God gave to Abraham belongs to you. So I want to make a quick point this morning. And that's the fact that what God gave you in Abraham, all right, the law cannot hinder it. The law cannot take it away. What God gave you in Abraham, the law cannot hinder it. And the law cannot take it away. So we're reading right now, you know, like I said, we're going to spend some time in Galatians chapter 3. So let's look at it. So Galatians chapter 3, 15 now. Dear brothers and sisters, NLT I'm using, here's an example from everyday life. Just as no one can set aside or amend an irrevocable agreement, so it is in this case. Hold on, you need to get this. All right, here's an example, brothers and sisters, from everyday life. Just as no one can set aside or amend an irrevocable agreement, so it is in this case. So there was an agreement made, okay? 16, God gave the promises to Abraham and his child, and notice that the scriptures doesn't say to his children as if it meant many descendants. Rather, it says to his child, and that of course means Christ. 17, this is what I'm trying to say. The agreement God made with Abraham could not be canceled 430 years later when God gave the law to Moses. God will be breaking his promise. You need to understand this. And why are we looking at this today? Because you find very many believers, all right, like I said something yesterday, and you know, this helps there, you know, so going to Deuteronomy 28 freely and say all the blessings here belong to me. And someone says, no, you guys are window shopping. You know, or you guys are doing selective Bible study, selective Bible reading. You guys are just cherry picking. You're just cherry picking, picking the ones that pay you and dropping the ones that don't pay you. Why are you people leaving the conditions? Why are you guys leaving out the curses? The reason we're doing that is because these things have no business with us anymore. We're looking at it. We're in Galatians. I mean, I'm with you today. I'm not going anywhere till our time is up anyway. So you've got to understand. You've got to understand what God is saying. You've got to have a good grasp of it. So we'll take that again, because when you go to Deuteronomy 28, Moses emphatically said, if you listen diligently to this law and you obey it, then you are blessed. And he made a list of beautiful blessings. But he said, if you do not obey what is written here, then you are cursed. And he made a very long list of curses. And then you find people wanting to adhere, all right, to everything spoken in the law. And they say, listen, that's the only way I can be blessed. Bible says no. Watch verse 17 again of Galatians chapter 3. This is what I'm trying to say. I'm reading the NLT. This is what I'm trying to say. The agreement God made with Abraham could not, guys, be canceled 430 years later when God gave the law to Moses. God will be breaking his promise. When God gave promises to Abraham, there were no conditions attached. When God met Isaac and said, I'm going to bless you because of your papa's sake, God didn't say, well, don't forget, there's a law to fulfill. No. Yes, Isaac had to now stay where God would have him stay, but that was all. When God met with Jacob, when he made stone for pillow, God didn't say, listen, I talked to your grandpapa and I talked to your papa. Listen, I'm going to bless you. These are 10 things you need to do. These are 15 things you need to do if I'm really going to bless you. No, but the only reason why these young men, you know, qualified for the blessing those days was because they were the children of Abraham. That, guys, that was all. The only reason they were blessed was because they were the children of Abraham. The only thing that made them blessed. The only reason they were blessed, they were the children of Abraham. Isn't that exciting? But question is, how else do you become the heir of a rich man? How else? By birth. By birth. I mean, there are certain families, the moment you're blessed, I mean, you're born, a mutual fund is opened for you and money is put into your account. Guys, you don't even know how to recognize your daddy or mommy as at that time. You're rich. All because you're born into a particular family. Mutual funds open for you. Some amount of money put into something for you. Some insurance, something. All because you were born. How much more in this case? And that's exactly what happened to the seed of Abraham. Guys, even Ishmael was born when Abraham had to release, you know, send forth, send away Hagar and Ishmael. You find the angel appearing to them and still saying to Hagar, listen, I'm going to bless him. God even told Abraham, because he's your son, I have to bless him. That means anybody just born, even mistakenly born by Abraham, God says, I'm committed to you. Oh my goodness, what a covenant God made with Abraham. But I'm going to redirect, okay? Because eventually we learned that this covenant was between God, Abraham, and Christ. So God was going somewhere with this covenant. Okay? God was going somewhere. And we learned earlier in these same Galatians that God was actually preaching the gospel ahead of time to Abraham. That's in verse 8 now. Bible says, what's more, the scriptures looked forward to this time when God will make the Gentiles right in his sight because of their faith. God proclaimed this good news to Abraham long ago when he said, all nations will be blessed through you. Bible said God was preaching the gospel. So what God promised you, the law can't take it away. The law can't hinder it. The law can't remove it. Hallelujah. So we're still in verse 17 again. I love verse 17, and then we'll move forward from there. This is what I'm trying to say. The agreement God made with Abraham could not be canceled 430 years later when God gave the law to Moses. God will be breaking his promise. God gave Moses free. I love to use the example. Someone tells you, oh, please come over to my house tomorrow. I'd love to give you a gift. Maybe I want to give you a car, a phone, or something. Please come over to my house tomorrow. Then show up in the person's house. When the person says, hold on a minute. Before I give you this gift, you know, it's a great gift to me. Help me wash my house. Help me wash my car. Help me do the dishes. Help me do some laundry. Help me. When you're done doing that, then it's no longer a promise. You've now put conditions in there. And Bible says, no, God will be breaking his promise. God gave these things to Abraham free. 18 explains it better or stamps it better. 18 says, for if the inheritance could be received by keeping the law, then it would not be the result of accepting God's promise. God graciously gave it to Abraham as a promise. Graciously. When something is graciously given, you graciously receive. Don't wake up in the day and wonder, things are bad, maybe because I did something. Now, if you know you did something, quickly repent. Quickly jump out of it. But many times we just open the door to the devil to drop condemnations and to knock us off. You didn't do anything. In case you haven't done anything, just, I mean, there have been many times believers wake up in the morning and just feel bad, feel unrighteous, feel like sinners. And then you think and think and think and think and think, what could it be that I've done wrong? Nothing. At least nothing that I recall. So the Holy Ghost doesn't bring anything to your remembrance yet. Don't allow that, you know, condemnation move an extra inch. Peg it right there. Stop it right there. Don't allow it move an extra inch. So God graciously gave these things to Abraham by promise. Now we need to read, so you're going to stay with me, okay? We need to understand the question, because you might be asking, why then did God, the same God who gave the promise to Abraham, the same God gave the law to Moses? What's going on here? Is there a confusion? No, there's not. None. Not at all, child of God. Just stay with us. All right? This has always been clear in the Bible. I remember, these two wonderful brothers back then on campus. I just took a stroll to their house. You know, and then, I mean, there's some rich traditions that I think the Body of Christ has left off, you know. So you go visit people, you know, members of a church. They would ask you to pray. I wasn't a pastor. You know, back then people would say, you know, share the word with us. Share something before you go. We did a lot of that back then. Share the word. Say something. You know, right now. You know, so maybe some of us need to build that up again. Share the word with us. Say something. You know? So they asked me to share the word. So I just, you know, went to Galatians and I began to explain the promise, the blessing, and the law. These brothers were like, you know, they collected the Bible with me. For real, guys. They collected the Bible with me. I had to ask, what's going on? They said, that's their Bible. They wanted to be sure what I was reading from it. They said, because they just finished a week of study of the book of Galatians. I mean, two of them in the house, roommates. They just finished a week of the study of the book of Galatians. They did not see what I was talking about. Oh, thank you, Lord. It was so, so beautiful, a privilege to be allowed by God to bring revelation to these brothers. Very committed brothers in the fellowship. Very committed brothers in, you know, Christian Union folk. Then, all right. So, because you would wonder, I mean, the same God who promised Abraham, now is the same God 430 years later, giving the law to Moses. What's going on? So we're going to read. Why then was the law given? This is beautiful. It was given alongside the promise. Now, not alongside, like together with Abraham. You know, it was Moses who brought it, so it became alongside. It was given alongside. So as Moses was blessing the children of Israel, he put the conditions there. So alongside. It was given alongside the promise to show people their sins. It had a purpose. Watch this. But the law, watch this, was designed only to last until the coming of the child who was promised. The law had an expiry date, guys. The law was designed only to last, all right, until the coming of the child of promise. God gave his law through angels to Moses, who was the mediator between God and the people. Now, a mediator is helpful if more than one party must reach an agreement. But God is one. Who, all right? God is one, all right? God who, rather, he is one, did not use a mediator when he gave his promise to Abraham. Did you get that? So God sent angels to give the law to Moses and then to the people. So there was a mediator who was Moses. But Bible says God, who is one, did not use a mediator, no go-between. When he gave his promise to Abraham, was God talking directly to Abraham? 27. Is there a conflict? Good point. I mean, once you read this, it always clears the confusion. Is there a conflict between God's law and God's promises? Absolutely not. I mean, I'm sure your answer could have been yes and no. The Bible says no. You have to go to the word to find out what it says. All right? Absolutely not. If the law could give us life, we could have been made right with obeying God by it. But the scripture declares that we are all prisoners of sin, so we receive God's promise of freedom only by faith in Christ Jesus, all right? Only by believing. 23 now. Before the way of faith in Christ was available to us, talking this, I believe this now refers more to the Jews, not to the rest of the world, all right? By the time the gospel got to the rest of the world, Christ has died. All right, so watch 23. Before the way of faith was made available to us, we were placed under guard by the law. We were kept in protective custody, so to speak, until the way of faith was revealed. Let me put it another way. I'm still reading the Bible. This is how NLT puts it. Very beautiful. Let me put it another way. The law was our guardian until Christ came. It protected us until we could be made right with God through faith. So still it keeps showing that the law has an expiry date. The law protected us until, are you with me now? It protected us until we could be made right with God through faith. And now that the way of faith has come, we no longer need the law as our guidance. Did you get that? Even if you don't ask me to read it again, I'm going to read it again. Verse 25. And now that the way of faith has come, we no longer need the law as our guidance. So the law has an expiry date and the law has expired. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let me read 24:25 again. Let me put it another way. The law was our guardian until Christ came. Until, that means this is talking directly about the Jew, because when the gospel got to Africa, Christ had come like many, many years ago. When the gospel got to America, got to Europe, all right, got to, you know, Asia as we have it right now, not Asia like Ephesus and all of that, biblical Asia. All right, Asia as we have it now, you know, by the time the Lord got to all these places, the gospel got there, Christ had died, but the missionaries, you know, still came with the law, still came with the Ten Commandments. So we all grew up, you know, knowing about the law. We knew more about Moses than we knew about the gospel. We are not the seed of Moses. We are the seed of Abraham, because God made a promise to Abraham, which was a promise he was actually making to Christ. Abraham was his pact partner. He had to make a covenant with a man on the earth to initiate, all right, what he was going to do. So when the law came, it wasn't confusion. These people were going to go haywire. They needed something to bring them in, to guide them, preserve them until Christ will come. The people of Israel. So Moses gave the law to them. The law was not for us. That's why the curse of the law is not for us. So when you read Galatians 3:13, that says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Paul used us there. He was talking as a Jew, because it was to them the law was given, not to the rest of the nations of the world. By the time the gospel, don't forget, Acts chapter 1, all right, when you receive power by the Holy Ghost, you'll be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the world. So when they took out the gospel of Jesus, when they spread it all over the world, Jesus had come, the law had expired. But just the missionaries didn't have this much knowledge, maybe. But thank God they still brought us the gospel. So I'll take 24 and 25 again. Let me put it another way. The law was our guardian until Christ came. It protected us, all right, until we could be made right with God through faith. And like I said, it's talking more about the Jew. So the law was their guardian until Christ came. The law protected them and made them right, all right, with God through faith. And now that the way of faith has come, the Jews are no longer under the guidance. They no longer need the law. So nobody was ever to bring the law to us. We should have just been told about the gospel, about the blessing. They'll be told there was ever a time there was a Moses, and these were the days, because we're still going to read the whole Bible. And then these were the dealings, but glory to God, God removed that from their way, and then we go, whoa, glory. See Hebrews, all right, Hebrews chapter 8 and the 13th verse of Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8 and the 13th verse, all right? If you remember Hebrews chapter 8, Hebrews 8, all right, in the 6th verse was the one where the Bible says to us that we have a better covenant established upon better promises. Okay, so Hebrews 8 is talking about a new covenant. So verse 13 of Hebrews 8 says, when God speaks of a new covenant, it means he has made the first one obsolete. All right, it is now out of date and will soon disappear. Soon here is gone already. Soon, this is a book of Hebrews to Hebrews. All right, so the practices were still physically all around them, because those people were ignorant of what Christ has done. But the writer is saying, this thing will soon disappear. But did you get what we said? When God speaks of a new covenant, it means he has made the first obsolete. It is now out of date. The first covenant is out of date. And that's a covenant that has the law, that has the sacrifices, that has the priesthood, that has all the different codes in it. Do this, do that. Do this, do this. Don't come to church when you're monthly circle. Don't do this. All those things have gone. They've gone with the law. They've gone with the law. They've gone with the law. The law, see it again. It is obsolete. It is now out of date and will soon disappear. So don't allow anything hinder you. You are the seed of Abraham. You are the child of Abraham by spiritual birth. You are the authentic seed of Abraham. Go get your inheritance. Go get your blessing. Go get your promise. Jump into it. Jump right into it. Glory to God. Oh, but what about the conditions? The conditions have been met in Christ. Romans chapter 8 verse 4, Romans chapter 10 verse 4, both let us know that Jesus has now fulfilled the conditions of the law. Christ has been made the end of the law to righteousness to us. Glory to God. Go and get your inheritance. The law has expired. We are not lawless. We'll look at that briefly tomorrow. We still have the law of the Spirit of life. We still walk by the law of faith, but not the laws of Moses. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, get your inheritance. Go right now. If you can. All right. If not, go through your day, but go to that Deuteronomy 28 and read it. Christ has now therefore fulfilled this law on my behalf. So I declare these promises on me. Blessed am I in the city. But I mean, go read it and look at every curse there and say, you don't belong to me because Christ has, you know, wiped you off. I don't have a business with this law. I don't have any connection to Moses. All I have is any promise that God gave to Abraham belongs to me. And I find promises here and they belong to me. Glory, 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 glory to God. Have a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful day. See you tomorrow. Praise God.
Get your inheritance.